All right.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, you?
Yeah, good.
What have you been up to?
Well, I've noticed my hair is really going grey. I'm not joking.
Is it?
Look.
Let's have a look.
Look at the side of my head.
God, that's how mine started.
That's bad though, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, mine's...
No, it didn't start like that.
It started on the sides, and then all of a sudden, all I remember is looking in the mirror every other day and trying to pull them out. Do you ever pull them out?
Why are you trying to pull them out?
I got addicted to pulling them out. Because when you pull them out, they go... Boop, boop, boop.
No.
And I got addicted to that.
Basically, it's really going grey on the sides, and then I've noticed it in the front a little bit, but I swear this is too early.
No, that's about the same time.
31. That's early.
Yeah, about the same time I went grey.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
When did you, what age did you be fully grey?
Fully grey, I can't remember. It must be, I must have been, how old are you now?
31.
Yeah, about 31, I reckon.
Hey, I would go fully grey. Unlike you, I would go fully grey. Do you want to talk about that?
What?
You want to talk about that? You want to talk about how long that took you to go grey?
But listen, the reason why I didn't go grey straight away is because I was always in front of a camera.
And so?
You have to let it grow out. And you go through... If you're
not in Lord of the Rings, like, no, you know, like 6 years.
If you're getting rid of grey over a period of time, you can't just like say, one day you're dyeing your hair and the next day you're not. You've got to kind of let it grow out. And so the only way that I found time was when I was directing that film. Do you remember that film? You remember the one that was really good? That one.
Straight to DVD job.
That one. And I was directing that. And so I had about 6 weeks off not being in front of the camera. And so I could let it grow out. But I would have looked a mess otherwise.
I don't think it was that.
What do you think?
I think you didn't used to dye it because you thought that people knew you as dark hair.
Well,
they knew you as Martin Kemp, older, the dark hair and all this other stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. That is partially true.
Don't lie, you got a second lease of life out of that. You should have gone it earlier. You should have gone great.
You
earlier.
Kind of like pushed me into it.
Yeah, because I knew. I had faith.
Yeah, I know that. No, I understand it. And I wish I'd done it earlier.
Yeah.
But I didn't. But I was doing, do you remember when I was doing EastEnders? My hair was really grey then. But I was dyeing it black. And once you start on the show, like EastEnders, 4 years I was on that show,
yeah.
You have to keep doing it. Otherwise, black.
EastEnders isn't like trapped in a time zone. Trapped in a time zone. It's based on like different like...
Yeah, but you've got to let it grow out.
Yeah, Steve Owen can let it grow out.
Yeah, but you've got to go through the black stage. Then you've got to go through some really ugly half ginger, half like...
Yeah.
Purple stage where your hair grows.
You look like Nan's purple rinse.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. And so you can't just go from one to the other. You've got to.
Well, what should I do?
Dye it black.
I don't think I should, though.
No, just let it grow.
Well, just leave it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just go shorter on
the sides. Listen, you've got about 10 either side at the moment.
You know what I heard it was from? I heard it was from my headphones. You lot, don't laugh.
From your what? From your headphones?
Yeah.
What? How do your headphones?
From the radio headphones. Let me hang on a minute. Shut up.
That's the most ridiculous
it's thing not.
I've heard in my life.
It's not. Big headphones, grey hairs. Wait.
What?
So basically, like, the headphones that I wear on my head.
Who are you looking for on your iPhone?
Look, here we go. Are my headphones causing hair breakage? Wearing tight-fitting headgear such as hats or headphones, wearing headsets, a pressure to the scalp kill the hair follicle, leading to hair breakage and thinning and greyness.
Oh, no. Listen, I understand thinning.
What, you don't think just the fact it's on the sides here?
I understand.
I wear headphones every day, mate.
I know. I understand thinning and kind of like maybe breakage because
thinning.
You're sweating underneath the headphones. I understand that.
Anyway, we had a message come in this week. Hello, by the way. I realized I haven't even said hello. If you are listening to this, thank you for all the wonderful messages that you send in to us on our socials and things like that, because you actually... You've helped a lot in terms of what topics you'd like us to talk about on this. So the podcast is called For Fuck's Sake, My Dad is Martin Kemp, because I do need help. I need to think about all the different questions to ask my dad before he dies. And one of those things that cropped up a lot, and I'm going to go to Alison in Woking, who said, My dad used to be in the army. He traveled to so many places around the world and saw so many different things. I wish that I had asked more about his travel. And I understand that. Thank you so much for that message.
Good question.
There are so many times where we forget where we've been in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And we never really ask.
You have done a lot of traveling as well, though.
Yeah, I've done a lot of traveling.
Yeah.
I've done a lot. But I guess for you, what do you think would be... Okay, let's go big straight in the thing. What's the best place you've ever been to?
Best place I've ever been?
And don't say the UK like you said last time about global warming.
The best place I've ever been in my life, and the only place that I reckon I could successfully live in, would be Rome. In Italy.
Rome?
Yeah, Rome in Italy.
I've got to say, everyone else listening,
what's wrong
that come out of left field.
Why?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it. But there's also nothing right with it. Why do you say Rome?
I absolutely
because that's where you're most famous.
Love Rome. No, it's not. That's not why I want to go back there.
Where was Spandau Ballet most famous?
In Rome.
Yeah,
listen, I would not want to go anywhere where I'm famous. I'll tell you that if I had a choice to live anywhere else. But Rome is beautiful. It is like living in this, like being inside a museum. Every turning, every street is something to look at, something from 2,000 years ago. It's the most amazing place in the world. The food is amazing. The weather is amazing. The food is like off the scale amazing.
So, Rome, what are you doing? You don't speak Italian?
I know I don't.
So, like what?
I could learn really quickly.
Italian's
hard. If I put my mind to something, I'm really good.
You can barely speak English, man.
You're being really rude.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying. No. Anyway, look, this is your favourite destination.
I am saying I could quite easily buy myself a little scooter, go out for a little bit of coffee in the afternoon, go and do the pasta and the
primi, secondi.
In the evening, finish off with a little bit of limoncello.
Yeah.
I could quite easily do that for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But what about you? Where's yours?
I think the Caribbean.
Caribbean?
Well, yeah.
Even
like, yeah, that way of life is the best.
Is it?
I went to Jamaica once.
Yeah,
right, and I went to a really nice.
Here's
a name drop. Right, Harry Styles told me to go to this hotel.
Yeah,
and it was
what
like,
hotel?
It's called Goldeneye, right? And it's like this mad like place that you can go to, right?
Yeah.
And it's the house that was Ian Fleming's
a sex club or something.
No,
what?
No. That was a topic for another day. no, but like it's Ian Fleming's old house. So the bloke that wrote James Bond, right?
Yeah.
And he built it. And then it got bought by this bloke, Chris Blackwell, who now owns
Chris.
Island Records.
Yeah.
Right, Island Records. He was the first person that brought to Electric Avenue and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. But then they built it into like a hotel.
Right.
And it's not a hotel in the normal sense. It's like little houses like on this estate. So anyway, so I'm staying at this place, and I was out there on my own. And so whilst I was out there, I kind of just basically just said, speaking to the people that work there, I was like, okay, well, I want to go outside the hotel a little bit. And they were like, well, it's a bit dangerous.
Yeah.
Right. Cause we weren't in Montego Bay.
Yeah. You're not in a posh bit.
Not in a posh bit.
You're out on your own, aren't you? A little bit.
Yeah. A place called Ocho Rios. Beautiful, but you know. And anyway, so we go there. I'm like, oh, well, where should I go for dinner? And they go, oh, you got to go to Chris's.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's Chris's? And they go, it's a restaurant, right? And I said, all right, that sounds quite nice. And then I kind of like asked that person. I go to the next person. Yeah, you got to go Chris's. So I was like, okay, cool. All right, this is the spot, right? So anyway, they go, okay, we'll get a driver to take you out to Chris's restaurant. Yeah. And I was like, brilliant. He goes, he's got to take a gun though. I was like, all right, cool. So he takes the gun, and then
you took a gun?
I didn't.
Who took the gun?
The fella, the driver.
Oh, the driver, right.
The driver's taking a gun, right? It's just me and the bloke.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, we're going to a nice restaurant. I dressed up a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? I dressed up a little bit, put perfume on, you know what I mean? Yeah, all that. Yeah. Right? Turn up, no banter, it's actual Chris's house.
No.
Right? And Chris's house is the size of, the living room is about the size of a normal, like, disabled toilet.
No.
Right? The living room is about the same.
So who cooks?
So Chris.
Chris cooks.
Chris cooks, right? So you go in the house and you just eat with Chris.
What, he cooks in his kitchen?
He cooks in the kitchen. No, but the kitchen is part of the living room.
Did you have it on your lap?
Nah.
Watching telly?
Nah, I had it. No, this is not joking. Like it was, but I'll tell you this. Best meal I've had in so long. And like, there's no menu or anything like that. And he just, it's just whatever he's cooking
what
that day.
What was it? What did you eat?
Oxtail, you know, oxtail soup and that type of stuff. And it's like, you know, curry goat. That type of stuff.
Yeah.
But it was great. You know what I mean? It was one of my favorite places. But I just thought, like, you know, that thing of like, you know, they pull back, you know, in the Caribbean, it was a bit more like the fame thing doesn't matter there.
No.
And I liked it. And
you
I
like the Caribbean.
When you go to places like that, it's quite nice. It's refreshing when there's more culture. Yeah. That's why I don't like. I don't like going to America.
Yeah, but I have a problem with the Caribbean because it's so rich and so poor. All on the same island.
Yeah, but you and Mum had a bad time. When you and Mum got married out there, what happened when you were driving around?
Listen, we had someone. Well, someone said to us, you've got to go to the other side of the island to have a look around.
Right.
Because it's meant to be great, like Les Pitons. You know Les Pitons?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In St. Lucia.
The mountains. Yeah.
And someone says, you've got to go over to that side. So we hire this car and we get lost halfway down. So this guy came out of nowhere, about 100 miles into the journey, right? And I think the journey was only 20 miles, but we've been going for about 100 miles. And this guy jumped in the car and he said, I'll take you to where you want to go. And we're both looking at
him. Why have you let him in the car?
Well, he just opened the door. He opened the door and got in and said, I'll take you wherever you want to go. I'll show you where it is.
You're not saying, now get out?
No, because he looked really dangerous. Well, I didn't want to like front him off like there and then, know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So anyway, he took us up.
How old are you at this point? 28?
I'm probably about the same age as you, yeah. Okay. Yeah, about that time. Yeah, I tell you another thing. When Shirley and I got married, Mum and I got married in the Caribbean in St. Lucia, we went to like, we organised a nice restaurant afterwards, going to go there, beautiful food. It was on the side of a lake and it was meant to be the best restaurant in St. Lucia, right? After we get married. So we get there and it's kind of open air and it's nicely lit by the candles and I'm sitting there having my dinner, just finished, and I look up and there's this woman sitting in front of me with her back to me, like Shirley's facing me. This woman's on the other side of Mum. And you know when like women do their hair and it's all kind of like beehive and it's all kind of puffed up on top of their head?
Right.
And this woman had had her curlers in, so they're kind of like tubes in her hair.
Right,
she's had her curlers and it's kind of bent around the curlers.
Yeah, yeah.
And in circles, little holes in her hair. And it was looked like that. And then all of a sudden...
Well, like something out of Whoville or something.
Yeah, yeah. So really odd. But you could see where she had her curlers in.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Her hair built up on top of her head. And I looked up. And there were three cockroaches
running
through the tubes in her hair. Yeah, running, making it a nest, enjoying it. Like, it was like kids in a playpen, you know, coming down the slides. And I could see. And then all of a sudden, this woman from the other side of the restaurant, she screamed. And she went absolutely ballistic, this woman. And I looked down on the floor, and the whole of the floor was not thousands, but millions of cockroaches had all overtaken the restaurant floor. It was like carpet that was moving underneath my feet.
Oh, and it made that sound as well.
Me and Mum had to get out of the restaurant and leave.
I don't know if I've really spoken about this. Cockroaches, right? So when I did I'm a Celeb, guess where I found a cockroach?
Where? Up your jacksie. Where?
Worse.
Where? Where? What's worse than up your jacksie?
In the inside of my foreskin.
No! No, you never!
Yeah.
You never!
Yeah. Yeah, it was horrible. Absolutely horrible.
Oh my God.
Really horrible. Went to the, because you don't get a proper shower there.
Yeah, but was it nice though?
No, are you joking? No, so.
It must have given you like a little tingle.
Nah, no, I think it was dead. Like, it was dead. Like.
Oh, it was dead?
It was dead. But like, that's rank. Because basically, like, yeah, I mean, you get them all up your ass.
Yeah, yeah.
All of them, like you know, when
so
you go...
So the cockroach is dead.
You're in the middle of the Australian jungle.
You obviously killed him where you hadn't washed.
Exactly. But like, yeah, you're in the middle of the, you know, flipping jungle or what, you know, whatever is, you know, you're in the forest.
Yeah.
And I just remember going to the bathroom afterwards, because you find loads of them, in like random places. Yeah. It's like, you know, where they tip it on you.
And
I don't know what it was, but I just remember going to the bathroom and then I was just like, whew, didn't see that one.
Oh my
What's the most dangerous place you think you've ever gone?
Dangerous?
Yeah.
I was in Brazil. I shot a film in Brazil.
Yeah.
Once, and
what was the film?
In Rio. I can't tell you what the film was.
You speaking Portuguese in that one?
No.
Oh, okay. I just thought you want to learn the language.
All right, hang on, let me get back to the story.
Yeah, you're Brazil.
I shot a film in Rio once, yeah. And we were filming in the favelas. You know, the favelas back then, it was the most dangerous place in the world.
Yeah.
And it was
I think it still is.
It was run by the drug lords. There was probably 200,000, 300,000 people that lived up in these favelas.
You know the favelas, right?
Yeah.
The police have an agreement that they don't go in it.
That's exactly right.
As long as they don't come out of it.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
So we are filming. They have got the rights. This company that I'm working with got the rights to film in the favelas.
Right.
So they're paying off the drug lords to let us go up there, probably. And so when we get there, the first thing they do is, like you, they give us an armed guard to travel with us. Right. So as we go into the favelas, we've got the armed guard. And as we come out, we've got the armed guard. Now, in the 2 weeks previous to what I'm just about to tell you, I saw two dead bodies. I saw just at the bus stop as you go into the favela. Yeah. There's one dead body lying there on its own. Right. About a week later, I see another dead body tied up in barbed wire.
What?
So this is the sort of place.
Tied up in barbed wire?
Yeah. And so a drive past. And
no one cares. Like,
no one cares. There was one thing that everybody in the favela has, and that's a chicken, right? They have the chicken.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. The first thing I did as I drove in was run over the chicken.
Oh,
right. Which was not a good start to my life in the favela.
You killed their money,
people. Yeah, yeah. So
did you buy them a chicken back? Or not?
Yeah, I had to. Yeah,
I was going to say back. Yeah.
So anyway, I spend like 3 weeks up there getting used to it. And one day, I'm coming out of the favela. It's about 4 o'clock in the morning because we've been working all night. And as we're driving down, I get to these traffic lights where I've seen the two dead bodies. Yeah. And I'm sitting there. All of a sudden, these two urchins, these guys, come down. They've got their jeans down by their bum, covered in oil, long hair, sweaty.
Yeah.
One comes around my side of the car.
Yeah.
The other one comes around the driver's side of the car.
Yeah.
Pulling out these two big magnums. Not
ice. What flavour?
No.
Two sea salt caramel. Two
magnum pistols.
A couple of white chocolates.
Two magnum pistols, right? It's huge guns, huge handgun it is.
Yeah.
And he comes in, and it's funny because that day, the armourer had been down on the set. And
What's an armourer?
The armourer is the person who brings down all the prop guns, all the guns.
Oh, for the movie? Yeah.
And when they come down, it's always kind of like, everybody's, all the men, all their testosterone listening. Comes up and they start, you can see their shoulders coming up and they're all going, oh yeah, I know what I'll have. I'll have that Beretta, I'll have that one, I'll have that with the pistol on it, with the silencer on it. And you can see all the men, all their testosterone goes berserk.
Yeah.
So as these two guys come off the pavement, this moment was so surreal. And I can see these two silver magnums coming into, one to my side, one to the other, the driver's side. And I'm looking at the guns thinking, now, they're good guns. I should have had one of them because the moment was too big.
Oh, you didn't realise?
No, I'm looking at the gun thing. That's a nice gun.
Oh, so you didn't realise they were coming to you?
No.
You were just looking at the gun?
Yeah, I'm just looking at the gun. But in my head, I'm thinking, this can't be happening.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at a gun coming towards me and I'm thinking, that's a nice gun. He puts one gun up against my head and the other guy comes around through the window,
yeah,
because it's hot out there. And the other gun goes up against the driver's head,
yeah.
And they are screaming at us in Portuguese. And I'm thinking, what a weird way to die. What a weird way to go. Going to be shot in the middle of Rio.
Have you not wet yourself?
In favela. I practically did, right? I'm shaking like a leaf.
Yeah.
Right? Shaking like a leaf. I think I'm going to get shot any minute. I'm looking at the gun. The guy's got the gun cocked. I can't move. I can't. Doing
and as it cocks, you go, I like the sound of that gun, sir. I like the sound of that gun. I should have had that.
It is absolutely terrifying,
right.
This moment. So I'm in this situation for about 5 minutes with this guy screaming at me. And I think, I've got to do something. Because it looks like if I'm going to stay in the car, I'm going to get shot. But if I try and get out of the car, maybe that's what he wants me to do. But I don't know what he's saying because he's screaming in Portuguese.
Well, you put your hands up.
Yeah, so put my hand down and I open the door gradually. And just as I get about, like, a few inches gap of the door being open, he grabs hold of it and he yanks it open, grabs hold of me, puts me face down on the car. So my head is like being pushed up against the roof of the car, the metal, right? And I'm thinking, he's going to shoot me at any minute. He's going to shoot me. Then he pulls me away, turns me around, looks at me straight in the eye and goes, Spandau Ballet.
Oh my fucking.
Spandau were big in Rio at that time, right? Looks at me, goes, Spandau Ballet. Then he goes, pulls out a bit of paper. He goes, sign this.
Oh my God.
Wants an autograph. Wants an
autograph. You say, this paper's a bit damp.
My hand.
Also, it's covered in piss.
Yeah. My hand is shaking like a leaf.
Right? What's the driver thinking?
The driver doesn't know what's going on. He's probably pissing himself in car seat, right? He is absolutely does not know what's going on.
Yeah.
So I signed a bit of paper for him. Anyway, it turns out they are plainclothes cops right. Waiting for us to come out of the favela because they think that we've done a drug deal.
Oh, my God.
4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my
God. It was the most scary thing that has ever happened.
That's outrageous, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, one of the most dangerous places I've ever been. And then after that, right, I have a week off and then I'll get put on this film in South Africa. Yeah. South Africa, same sort of thing. Guns everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, instead of like hiding the guns, they wear the guns on the outside.
That was the first time. I went to Texas.
Yeah.
Right. And when you go into a nightclub in Texas, they go ID. So show your ID.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the next thing they go, let me see your belt. And then you lift up your shirt to show them your belt to see if you've got a gun, right?
Yeah.
And then they go, if you've got a gun, put it there. And then you come back at the end of the night and collect it.
No.
I swear to you.
Because they're so used to it.
So used to it.
Yeah.
Like, it's outrageous. Do you know the thing is, yeah? I was thinking about this. Most dangerous place I think I've ever been. I honestly think China.
Yeah.
Well, no. I did North Korea.
You've been to China a few times though, haven't you?
Well, I did the border of North Korea.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
weird.
You did that, yeah. Recently, though.
Recently. But a border in North Korea is scary. That's weird. You
Someone
go missing.
Could have taken a pop shot, right?
No, you go missing. That's the type of place where you go missing. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, would you ever want to go there?
Not really. It doesn't do anything for me, that.
See, that's the thing. With travel, right? I'm obsessed with.
Yeah.
Obsessed with it. I never did, you know, gap year.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. Harley, my sister, you know, she did it.
Yeah.
She did your Thailand and India and all this stuff.
Yeah, you didn't do that.
Because I've been working. I've been at work since 16. Like, that's what I've been doing, you know, for the last 15 years.
Well, you call it work.
All right. Yeah, likewise. like, last 15 years, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I've been pretending to work.
Yeah, yeah.
So I never got that chance. And I love, you know, it's annoying because when you got like holidays and stuff, you do almost like teachers, like it's like 2 weeks at a time and go. So I got on these trips, but I always think it's so scary to think that like when you die, right? I don't know if you think like this, but like, is it not for you before you die, do you not want to make sure that you've seen everywhere?
Yeah, but I think I've seen it all.
But you ain't, mate. You ain't been to Antarctica. You haven't been to Antarctica.
Yeah, but Michael Palin's been there.
Yeah, what? You watched the show? But that's what I'm saying. Like I'm obsessed with that. Like, there's a part of me where I'm so obsessed where I know I'm going to get to the point in my life, maybe, you know, after kids or whatever, but where I want to say that I've been to pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
And I, because I love it. I love it.
But
I
so
love
you going, should as well.
I love going to places.
Yeah, but you got to remember how my life happened. You know, when I was 17, 18, I was traveling around the world with a band and I probably went around the world about four or five times all in all, until to the point where on the very last tour, I remember someone giving me a round the world ticket and saying, here we are, this is yours, look after it. And I hated it. Hated the idea of doing it again. Of going around the world again.
Why?
I hated it.
What?
You've done it too much.
Yeah, but what do you prefer? Do you prefer like? Would you prefer? Have you ever gone anywhere on your own?
On my own?
Yeah.
No.
I don't think you've ever been on your own in your life. I don't think there's any point in your life where you've been on your own. Isn't that scary?
Yeah. Well, not really. But I know what you're saying. Yeah, it would be a new experience.
You like that? I was just you do travel around a little bit with your DJing.
Oh, that's yeah, but that's
talk to me about this thing that you've got.
What?
You've got this camera detector. What's this secret CIA shit you've got?
How do you know about that?
I know this.
Who told you this?
I know you've got it.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I do. When I go into a hotel room...
The funny thing is, you actually told me about this, but you just don't remember.
Well, when I go into a hotel room...
As if, like, you're like, oh, my God!
I have this thing, when I go into an hotel room, that can tell whether or not there is a camera in the hotel room.
Why are you so paranoid? What are you doing in there?
Well, I'm not doing anything. Just, like, natural things that you do in a hotel room when you're bored on
right.
your own.
Yeah, of course, you know? Yeah. Well, you don't want anything... Who's filming what? That? I know what we're going to do. I'm the hotel manager. I know what we're going to do. I'm going to get a video of Martin Kemp having a wank.
No, when you get there, if I want to spend £12.50 on a movie.
But £12.50? Yeah. Oh, my God. This is a Pornhub's free, mate.
But I get this thing. I've got this thing, a little machine that looks like a telephone, but it will beep and it will tell you whether or not there is a camera in the room. I got it off of eBay.
What a fraud that is.
What?
What a fraud
it's
that
not
is.
Not a fraud.
Have you ever found one?
No.
But there you go.
Because there's no camera.
Yeah, but that's what you think. It's probably just some thing that doesn't, it never beeps.
I don't think it is.
Have you put it near a camera? Yeah, have you put it near a camera and has it beeped?
I haven't tested it.
Well, you got to test it. There's probably loads of videos of you.
Well, no, there's not. This thing is genuine.
Wait, you know.
They said it was genuine when I bought it.
You know, Singapore Airlines got done recently because I'm pretty sure I'm correct on this, so they won't sue us. But Singapore Airlines got done because there was a camera, a secret camera, behind the screen on the plane.
No.
And it turns out they were filming passengers. They claim it was a mistake, a manufacturing mistake.
Right.
But I think this is my wild conspiracy. My conspiracy thinks it makes sense that they would want the data of how someone maneuvers on a plane.
Yeah,
because you want to know how long are people sat there. You know, data's everything.
Yeah,
right? Data's
key.
But there's cameras looking at you.
What people look like when it crashes?
Potentially.
Well,
do you know they talk? You know they say that like when you know they say the brace position is only to so that your teeth fall into your lap.
Oh, that's not true.
I'm not joking.
No, the brace position, that stops you getting hurt.
Stop getting hurt?
Yeah, when it
crashes. What, in a plane crash? You know the first thing you ever said to me? You know the first thing you ever said
to me?
You know when I was a kid, I was so afraid of flying, right? I was so afraid of flying.
I know you were,
when I was a kid. And I remember you sat next to me and you looked at me and you go, and I was holding on, right? Turbulence, I was going like that, right? You know, your whole body freezes.
Yeah.
I remember your dad's meant to go, don't worry about it. You know, we'll be okay. Like, all fine. You turned to me and you go, what are you doing? And I went, well, I'm holding on. And you went, well, if a crash is no good.
Yeah, but
you said you'll be dead.
Confidence.
You said you'll be dead. I was like, oh, brilliant. I mean,
yeah, but it's about facing reality, isn't it? You know, you are going to listen. Who's going to survive?
What?
A plane crash.
A plane crash.
Who's going
to
survive?
No, I know. Hey? Although I saw a mad story the other day that, you know, one time a plane, the whole roof come off.
Yeah.
And they all survived.
No.
The whole roof of the plane come
Where
off.
Where was this?
I don't know. I seen it online the other day. But the whole roof of the plane. They've had this problem recently with all the windows are blowing out and all the Boeing 737. You seen that?
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine being like, oh, we need a bit of air.
Have you seen that movie, Society of the Snow?
No, don't tell me about it.
What?
Because I don't want to spoil it for anyone.
I'm not going to spoil it. Oh, it's common knowledge.
Don't talk about it.
When they have to eat.
Don't. Why are you saying that?
The bodies. That is common knowledge. The film isn't about that. It's not like a surprise at the end where they eat the bodies. That's what the film's about. That is what you. What would you eat? The
what's
bodies?
What's the most mad thing?
Would you eat the passengers?
On your, I would. Yeah.
You would to survive.
100% in a heartbeat.
Of course.
That's one thing. When you travel, what's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten?
I think it has to be in Japan. I think it has to be a mollusk that was still alive.
Yeah. They love the still alive stuff.
Yeah, still alive. It was literally crawling around. You know that, like, you sit at a sushi bar and it was in the kind of like the glass section in a sushi bar. And it was crawling around. And then the guy picked it up and he said, try this. And he chopped it in half and he put his half on my piece of rice. And as it was on the rice, I could still see it moving. And I ate that.
That's disgusting.
And I kind of regret that.
I regret not eating the live squid in Korea.
Oh, no, I saw that. I was so pleased you didn't.
Why?
Because when you were going, I had a look at the live squid thing because you told me about it.
Yeah.
And it looked disgusting. It looked so disgusting. I'm glad you didn't eat it.
Why?
Because it looked so cruel.
Yeah, but man, all food octopus is cruel, man. Squids. All food is cruel, man. If I showed you how I made your steak the other night, like, you know
octopus
what I mean?
And squids.
That you'll only eat with me.
Octopus are probably the cleverest creature.
Oh, God. You cried. You cried at that film, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
My octopus teacher.
Yes.
It was so bad.
I was in tears.
Was so bad.
They are the cleverest creatures on this planet.
They are. They're aliens.
They are aliens. Yeah. They are a piece of moon dust that was created, turned into a creature.
Yeah, I know.
You know, if there's a god on this planet, it has to be an octopus.
What?
If there is a god, it will be an octopus. It is the cleverest, oldest creature.
You're being serious.
It is the cleverest, oldest creature on this planet.
It's not the oldest.
It will be.
What, you think it will outlast everyone?
Yeah.
They are outrageous. Have you seen those videos where they like get themselves through like really tiny...
Yes.
Mat.
They can change colour in a heartbeat.
Yeah, but chameleons.
Heartbeat.
Oh, well, chameleons do it a bit.
Yeah, but they can change colour to anything. It's not like chameleon, green or...
Isn't it a bit bad?
Green or red, you know, like that's like, a bit boring.
Yeah.
It's the octopus, change colour to... And it sits on something purple with spots on it, changes to purple with spots on it.
The place that I did not enjoy the food was China.
Yeah.
China,
yeah.
I didn't enjoy the food. I went to China and I was doing a job for Kung Fu Panda. Right? I was doing a job for Kung Fu Panda and I spent a while out in China.
Yeah.
It was in Beijing and I just didn't like it. Like, Beijing's very grey, like it was very... I don't know. See, the thing is, if you're listening to this and you've been to these places, these are just our experiences of these places. Do you know what I mean? You might think that Rio's the safest place in the world or whatever, but my interpretation of Beijing when I went there was it was very grey and very, I don't know, a bit weird. And then I remember I went to the Great Wall.
Oh, you're just covering your ass now in case you get another job in China.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If the Chinese would like to hire me, I'm available. I'm a great spy. Do you know what I mean? I remember there was a bloke and he had all tarantulas in a box.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't know what he was doing. I thought it was like he would get them out and you put them on your hand and you could look at it. He got a long stick, like a kebab stick, and just straight through the live tarantula. Just went...
Fried it.
Both sides fried, bang, bang. Yeah, real quick, right? Stab, fry, give it to you on a stick.
Did you?
I ate it. Yeah, disgusting.
I've had that.
Disgusting.
Yeah, yeah.
It tastes like the burnt bit of chicken that you get at the barbecue.
It tastes like the old fat that you leave in the frying pan.
Worst one when I had out there, and this was genuine. And I don't know if they do this just for the tourists, but there was a lady who literally just had three different meats in a line, and she just went cat, dog, penis.
No.
Yeah. Horrendous. Yeah, horrendous.
But what meat was the penis?
I don't know. Do you know the most impressive place, right? I know we're wrapping up, so I'll go on a positive.
Because we've been a bit down.
Yeah. Most impressive place I've ever been in my life, Iceland.
Is it?
That is a place that is like the best. Honest to God, I'd go as far as saying like that's one of the best places you can live.
Really?
It's like beautiful, like everyone's so nice. Like, it's ridiculous. You know, like they did a thing in Iceland, you know, it's listed as the safest place on the planet.
What, Iceland?
Iceland is listed as safe place.
It's not at the moment, is it?
No, but like in terms of like other members of the public. Yeah, but the whole thing, Iceland is a volcano.
I know. Well, it's not the safest place on the planet then.
No, but like in terms of like look, so if I left a laptop on a cafe, I could leave it three days and come back, it'd still be there.
Yeah, if it hasn't melted.
Yeah. So I would say Iceland is genuinely, that's the best place I've ever been to.
Best place I've ever been?
Yeah.
Saint-Tropez.
Saint-Tropez.
No, I love it there. I love Saint-Tropez. I love the beach. I love the food. I love the people. But the place I would live, Rome.
Weird.
Rome.
Weird that you've gone back there.
Nah, Rome is the best place.
I just don't know why. You've never said that in your life.
I have.
Rome today or something?
No, I say it to everyone. Rome is the best place I've ever been. It's the best food, the nicest people, the nicest cars. It's a beautiful place to be.
Okay, lovely. All right, so you love Rome.
I'll go to Rome.
If I scattered your ashes, would you want Rome? Would you want
Rome?
You
go to Iceland.
Would you like ashes scattered at Rome?
No. No, not at all.
Oh, we're gonna we're gonna taxidermy you. That's what we said we were gonna do.
Oh yeah, 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 we did. Yeah,
prop you up, put you in a party.
Yeah,
and then you want to be put in a tree. What if I put you in a tree in Rome?
No, I don't want to be in a tree in Rome.
Where do you want to be then?
Highgate. Put me in a tree in Highgate.
In Highgate.
Yeah, Highgate. Or something like that.
You want to be in North London? North London. You want?
Yeah, yeah. Put me in a tree in Highgate. I'll be quite happy.
Okay, not Rome.
No,
not your so-called favorite place in the world.
I'm just saying, if I was going to retire...
Right, okay, fine.
I would go to Rome.
Okay.
Not put me in a fucking tree in Rome.
Wait, so your love for Rome, is that why I'm called Roman?
Oh, no. Let's save that for another day.
All right, for another day, fine. Hey, well, look, thank you so much for listening to that. Great question. I've realised as well that I can say this as just my dad is Martin Kemp. And just in case there's any people that are offended by the title of this podcast. But yeah, that was me, Roman, and my lovely dad, Martin. Let us know what you think. We always say this. Leave a review of 5 stars. I'm pointing at you.
What do I always say?
Oh, for God's
sake. Well, what do I always say?
If you like it or if you don't like it.
If you like it or if you don't like it.
Why should they rate it 5 stars if they don't like it?
Well, because. Why?
Every time we've done this, because
I'm
it means
not listening by then,
because
I've
it means that,
off.
Because it means that people that don't, if you don't like someone, they might stumble upon it, and you're wasting their time.
Great, you said it now.
Yeah, exactly. All our socials as well. Help My Dad Is, and that's it. We'll be back next time. Thank you very much.
See you later.
This has been an Insanity Studios production.